So Mem Vav, the Gemara discusses the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. Shita of Shimon and Muksa. It's the sword of Muksa. It took a whole Zman to get to this point that we spoke about Muksa. We could tackle maybe the Iker Sugya here, which is Rabbi Shimon's Shita and Muksa, which more or less is what we hold by. Talach L'maisa. So Shem is more makel in what defines muksa. But the Gemara tells us that Rav Shimon was machmer. Number of cases where Rav Shimon holds by muksa. One of the ones mentioned in our sugya is the inyan of a bechar. A behemoth that's a bechar, so this man of mikdash is brought as a karban. This man is say you have to wait till it has hamum. So what's the din of a bechar? This behema coming into Yom Tov, it was a bechar, which you're not allowed to touch him, you're not allowed to shecht it. On Yom Tov, it develops a mum, and now you want to shecht it. You want to shecht it, there's a chacham there to ask, and you ask him, you get a heter on the animal, can you eat that animal on Yom Tov? Stam an animal, of course, you could eat shecht it on Yom Tov. So what about the bechar? So the Gemara says that even the fear of Rabbi Shimon, even though it's makel in muksa, but nevertheless the bechar is muksa. It's muksa because of the svara of mi yemer. It says mi yemer that'll develop a mum, and mi yemer that the chacham will be matret. So I have a chacham to be matret. Mi yemer. Ein achinami got a heter, but coming into Yom Tov, you didn't expect to have a heter. It wasn't, right? It was an unlikely thing to happen. And therefore, even Rabbi Shimon says that it's muksa. The Gemara says more, the same thing the Gemara says should be true by a neder. Let's say a person takes a neder, he's not going to eat peiros. He asks all the peiros in the world on him. So those peiros become muksa. Be'etzem, they become muksa. The Ran explains, there's a little bit of pellet, it becomes muksa. Everyone else can eat these peiros. I can't eat the peiros. Why are they muksa? So the Ran explains that it's based on the fact that since the bailam is muksa lagabe the bailam can't eat the fruit, so therefore it becomes muksa lagabe everyone. Right? He compares it to the din we have by Yas, that Rebbe. It says in Rebbe's house, a carton is muksa because since the Gabe Rebbe was an usher, and the Gabe Rebbe, a carton is not chashiv, therefore objectively becomes muksa, and therefore even if an ani wants to take this carton, it's muksa. Fine, so these fruits are muksa, but the Gemara says, since this person is going to be matter neder, and the Gemara says, since it's very easy to be matter neder, all you need is three Jewish males, three hediotos. It's very easy to do matter in the darim. And you're allowed to be matter in the darim on Tzorach Shabbos. It's Tzorach Shabbos. This person should be matter neder so he can enjoy Shabbos. So the mela, since it's expected, so therefore it's not muksa. But otherwise, Rav Shimon would ask her. Right, so this is the basis of Rav Shimon. So Pasha is telling us the basis of Rav Shimon is our omen and musaka. That's something, even if it's not usable at the onset of Shabbos, but since you have hope to use it, you're omen and mitzapa, there's hope to use it, so mamela, it's not, it's going to be mutter. But if you're not omen and mitzapa, if you're not hoping to use it, so mamela be muksa. Right, that's Rav Shimon by Grogos Utsumukim. Right, the Grogos Utsumukim, we know Rav Shimon holds that even though it might dry out and end up being raisins on Shabbos, but since it might not, and you can't control, it's not B'day Adam, it's B'day Shemayim, so Miyemar, who knows what's going to happen in Mimela, it's Muksa. So that should seem very nice, very simple. What's Muksa to Rav Shimon? The problem is, and this is a big problem, it takes a lot of work to be Miyashay, is the Gemara Memhei. The Gemara Memhei, and I'm sure you've seen it elsewhere in Maseches Beitzah, that a behema. The Gemara says in Memhei, it says, Marbe Reis Rav Yosef holds that a behema that dies, Gemara and Beis explains is even if it dies in an unusual, it was not expected to die, behemoth dies on Shabbos, the meat is not, the flesh is not muksa. That's a passage of halacha. Even if it was a totally healthy animal, your prize animal, and in its peak of its health, afal pikein, it drops dead, it's not muksa. That's halacha. Rav Shimon says you could feed it to your dog. So shaila is, yeah, what do you mean? Miyema? You didn't think it. You weren't expecting that. Right? This is the same. You know, the case of the mum, you were maybe hoping the animal was going to develop a mum. Right? You wanted to develop a mum. You didn't want your animal to die. Afal pikein, the bechar is muksa, but the animal that drops dead suddenly, for some reason, is not muksa. Why is it not muksa? And the Gemara tells us a bigger pala. Gemara in Chulin, Tesvav, and it's brought in Shin Yud Ches, the beginning of Shin Yud Ches. So the... The Gemara tells us a Pella that talks about a Chola. If there's a Chola on Shabbos, and he's hungry, there's nothing else to eat, and the doctor says he has to eat meat right now, you're allowed to shecht an animal for the Chola. And the Gemara, the Maskanas HaGemara, the Maskanas of Halacha, is that flesh of that animal is not muksa. And of course the Chol is allowed to eat it because it's Sakanas Tefashos. But a healthy person with Stam comes along and sees, oh, there's an animal here who was shechted for the Chola. Hopefully the Chola got better. And he wants to eat a bit of the flesh, right? He's someone who's able to eat raw meat. And he wants to eat the raw meat, he's allowed to eat the raw meat. It's not muksa. It's a pala. Why not? For some reason, it's not muksa. So what's the pshat? There's no miyema right there. Miyema that a person's going to get sick and you have to shecht for sakonos the fashos and mamela. It's going to be used. Mehechi tesi, right? There's no yoshu mitzap, but there's nothing. So what's pshat? What's pshat? Why is that mutter? Right? How many times in history do you think this happened? Right? That someone who was a healthy person coming into Shabbos, got sick, and we had to shecht an animal for him. Not so often, right? Much, right? Yet that's not muksa. However, the bechar, we say, oh, the bechar is muksa. Yeah.
The Gemara doesn't say the person was sick in Budyom?
So no. There is Rishonim, there are Rishonim who hold that way, it's only if it's sick, but in Shulchan Aruch we hold even if he wasn't sick in Budyom. Oh, so it's a pella. Sugyu's a pella. Oh, so the Chaznish says Yisod. Maybe it's a Pasha Yisod, but the Chaznish is Mem Aleph Dalet, and the same Yisod in the Ar Sameach Chelchos Yamtiv. So they say the Yisod is that anything that's objectively mochen, it's called food. If it's something's food, on a Wednesday it would be food, it would be dinner, on Shabbos, it's considered mukhan. If something on Wednesday coming into Shabbos is not considered food, so the meila, it's not mukhan. Therefore, what? So he said like this. The bechar. A bechar is kachim. Bechar is manazeh. On Wednesday, there's nothing to do with it. The way it is now, the way it is vasher hu sham, the way this animal is, it's not usable. It's kachim. It could change. But the way it is, the status quo is, this animal is kachim. An animal on a Wednesday is considered food, right? Because you can shecht it and eat it whenever you want. Shabbos, you can't shecht it. You can't shecht on Shabbos. But be'etzem is considered food. It has a shame ochel. So be'etzem is telling us is Gemara. The Gemara says in Chulin, the Gemara talks about someone who shechts, accidentally forgets the Shabbos, and shechts an animal on Shabbos. So the Gemara talks about Maisa Shabbos. Are you allowed to eat the meat? Is it Maisa Shabbos? But the Gemara, the assumption of the Gemara, see, the Gemara talks about what would be to Rabbi Yehuda, but at least the fear of Shimon, the meat isn't muksa. The meat's not muksa. Why not? So I'll read the Lashon HaGemara. Lashon HaGemara, it says, Meikara Mukhan Adam, Vahashta Mukhan Adam. the animal was fit for a person, was mochen for ochel for Adam, and now it's mochen Adam. It's a little bit of power. I just want to say one thing, like maybe that'll make it a little bit closer. You know, we're so used to the fact that the cow, you know, in the farm, and then we have the meat on our plate. By us, they're like totally separate worlds. The meat comes from the store, the cow, you look at it in the petting zoo. But the emes is, you think b'me chazal. You could look at it as like people, every person had their sheep, their livestock. When they got hungry, they didn't have refrigerators. You shecht an animal, you have a day or two till it goes bad, right? And you shecht it, that's part of your preparation. Like the same way we cook food, they would shecht food. So this pshat is, it's considered mochen, it has a shame mochen, because an ochel and a kli have a shame mochen. Now, second, hopefully you're thinking of kasha, there's lots of kashas to be thinking, but you probably think it is a kasha, right? A pasha kasha is that, of course, it's not true, right? A live animal is muksa, right? Let's talk about this more, maybe next week, but a live animal, of course, is muksa, right? The cow, and the cow's alive, it certainly is muksa. But pshat is this Gemara we saw in Mem Gimel. We spoke it a little bit, but maybe not enough. Gemara in Mem Gimel has a line. It says, Tevel mochen hu etzel Shabbos. Shem avar v'tiknum v'sukun. Tevel is mochen l'gabe Shabbos. That if you were over and metaking it, it's also to be metaking it, but if an issue you were metaking the tevel would be mutter in Shabbos. Because it's mochen, it's be'etzem mochen. So I believe we mentioned, what does that mean? Tevel is beferish gemar kuf chaf vav, tevel is mochen Shabbos. But if you're metaking it on Shabbos, it becomes mutter. So what's pshat? So explain, it's really tzvei dinim here, right? There's a basic din of mochen, and tevel's mochen. Why is it mochen? Because it's food, it's yum, delicious food, there's nothing wrong with it. It's mochen. You can't use it on Shabbos. So in Shabbos, anything you can't use, even though objectively, in the world of mochen, right, the world of echinu asher yaviu, that real mochen dekadin, it's mochen. But there's another world, right, Baruch Hashem, at this point of this, the year we know. There was another din of the whole Gzeres Nechemya. There's a different type of muksa. Kalim were all made muksa. We were matter what's Tzorach Shabbos. Kalim are completely mochen. But the problem is, it's something that's not Tzorach Shabbos. There's no heter to be metaltel it. So therefore tevel, which you can't eat, right? You can't feed your animals with it. So memeil en chinam, it's mochen. You want to know objectively in the metaphysical world of echino asher yaviu, it's mochen. But it's not tzorach Shabbos, so you can't be metaltel. If you're over v'tikno, now it's good, because it did come into Shabbos mochen. So l'chayra l'fi Reb Shimon, l'chayra Lefi Rabbi Shimon, that's the same yisoid legabe meat. Legabe meat, the pshat is, it's objectively mochon. It's ochon. It's mochon lads becoming to Shabbos. You can't be metalto because there's no tachas. Yeah.
I have an animal, so I want to go and pet.
Okay, so we're going to talk about that. Yeah, we're going to talk about that for a reason.
It is not moksa at all.
So glad it's moksa, but we're going to have to discuss that next week. Okay? Okay. I'm saying a vada smuksa. You know, you might know there's some who don't think that way, but yeah, okay. Fine. So that lechayr is the din that things that are objective. There's something called a mochon that's objective. If you're food, you're food. Now, I'll just say there's a few other makoros about this. You probably saw, maybe you saw, but that really bring up this nakuda. Right, one that I think is well known. I just assume, you know, I don't know what goes on in the morning city well enough. I just assume some of these things are very, very basic. So some everyone knows. I'm Beitza Chavav, right? The Gemara of Kana, the Din of Rav Kana. He says Muksa sheyavish ve'ein habaylo makirim bo is mutter. Right, Rav Kana says that if there's something that you put up, your grapes to turn into raisins, and they turn into raisins before Shabbos, you didn't know about it, so it's not muksa. Those raisins are not muksa. So says the Sheltos. The Sheltos says, well known Sheltos, he says that you see from there, maybe not everyone agrees with the Sheltos, but the Sheltos says, you see from there that something that objectively mukhan, even though Medasa Adam, the person has no knowledge of it, it's not muksa. Because it's mukhan, it's a mitzias of mukhan. And many things that are like that, l'chayra, right? Water, right? When it rains. Rain, water, the Gemara in Erevin tells us is not muksa. Why? Because it existed. It existed. Was it? Did you know about it? Right? Peiros of a guy. If a guy sends you a present, and you know the peiros were picked before Shabbos. So those peiros, even though they're coming from out of the tchum, from someone you never expected him to send, you never even knew this farm existed, AFLPK, the peiros, you know, there could be a problem with Maisa Shabbos, but the peiros are not muksa because the etzim, they're objectively mukhan. There's another Gemara, very interesting Gemara, important Lamaisa. The Gemara Beit Salam and Aleph. The Gemara talks about what's the din. It's a Mishnah. The Mishnah says if you have a house that's filled with peiros, but the house has no door. It's a sealed house. And the only way to get these peiros is to break open the house. I don't know, it doesn't mean like a big house. I assume it means like some structure. And you have to break down the structure to get to the peiros. So coming to Shabbos, it looks hopeless. How are you going to get the peiros? So the Mishnah says if the house breaks open, somehow it gets broken open, you're allowed to eat the peiros and they're not muksa. So says the Ramban, beautiful Ramban, this is in the Malchamos, in Beit Sadaf, Daf Chaf, Bedafe Haref. He says it's not muksa because even though you couldn't get to it, but it's just like tevel. Just like tevel you can't use on Shabbos. There's no way to get to a beheter on Shabbos. But Afal Pikin objectively is called mukhan. So too these fruits that are stuck in this house, so objectively they're mukhan. You couldn't get to them, but objectively they're mukhan, the male they're mutter. Right, the same thing, you know, you could be never even think of such a shaila. But let's say you left the light on in the fridge. Right? So there's no way to get to your food on Shabbos. So you would think the food should be muksa. And let's say somehow the door gets open. There's a blackout. And now you could open the fridge. But you were never expecting that. Afal pikein, the food's not muksa. Right? So I saw one sefer talking about what's the din if you turn on the hot water on Shabbos, and water comes out, right? Okay, so you realize you close the water, right? Talk maybe in Bishul if that's mutter, but you close the water, and now you have water there. It's nice water. There's nothing wrong with the water. It just came out of the hot water tap, right? So I'm not even hot, right? Because it didn't have time to heat up. So that water, so same thing, that water should be muksa. Then should be that water's muksa. Why? Because before Shabbos, you weren't allowed to open the hot water tap. Memela, it's locked away. But the Fidur Ramban, it's not, the Parsha of the Mishnah, it's not muksa, because objectively water's mukhan. So that, and the Ramban actually says, he says, just like tefl. So that's, there's an Indian of objective mukhan. There's Yerushalmi that brings this out, a Peldic Yerushalmi. It's sort of like a Yerushalmi that's like so lumdashay. You get so excited when you see such a, like a shit. So I saw this Yerushalmi, I was like, wow, it's not sure what I wanted to say. So of course I read Yerushalmi like that. Maybe you'll read Yerushalmi, you won't think that's what it says, but if I read Yerushalmi, this is what the Yerushalmi said. Okay, Ben Yamin, you'll have your chance. It's Yerushalmi, Beitza, Perk Aleph, Halacha Gimel. Okay, I'll tell you what it says. It says, what's the din of a monkey if a monkey carves out a kli on... It just says a monkey carves out a kli. Is that kli muksa? Okay, that's the Ibai of the Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi Kedako doesn't explain much. The Primi Gadim explains what's the shaila. He says it definitely doesn't mean that the monkey carved out a kli actually on Shabbos, because if so, for sure it would be muksa, right? A block of wood coming into Shabbos, whatever you do with it, it's going to be muksa. He says, and it's really clear from the Hemshecha Yerushalmi, he says, talking about a monkey carved out a kli, and before Shabbos, and you knew nothing about it, and now on Shabbos you want to use the kli. What's the deal? Could you use that kli? So the Shalmi says it depends on two things. First, it quotes the din of Tevel. It says it should be just like the din of Tevel, that Tevel, if you're metaking it but Isser on Shabbos, it's mutter. It says, and it says, since Tevel, if you're masakin it on Shabbos, it's mutter, so too the monkey that carved out the kli is mutter. What's the sheiches? So the Chorim is to say the sheiches is that the Tevel, you have no das to use it on Shabbos. Right? You're assuming everyone's going to be from. Then you have one kid who's off the derech and takes truma. Hold on a second, let me just finish the one. He takes truma, and now it becomes edible. Oh, but objectively, it was mochen. In the same way, a kli that the monkey carved out, so there's no dasa other to make it into a kli, but the mice, objectively, it's a kli. So therefore, the Yerushalmi says that would be mutter. And then just before I finish, the Yerushalmi says, and so too, it'll depend on the din of what's the din of muksa sheyavesh before Shabbos. And the ain't bile of makirim bo. It brings this din of Rav Kana, and it says, it's totally on that din, of what's the din if your raisins were finished being done before Shabbos, but no one's makirin it, what's the din? So if it's mutter, so this will also be mutter. So the Pshar Yerushalmi is just saying l'chayra, just bring this out this point, that the halacha is, if something's mochen mitzad atzmo, it's objectively mochen, we don't care about das. Yeah, Rabbi Yamin.
Why do I need a monkey for that? Can't they have a human that's doing anybody on?
No, because then you have das. Then of course it's a kli. You're trying to have a case where something's becoming a kli with no das of an adam.
Why do we? Isn't it all in the Bailam's das? Why do we care about someone else's das?
Whoever makes this his a kli, he made it a kli, and therefore it's das. What do you mean the Bailam? The one who made it?
The Gerber is drawing out, whose das was relevant?
The Bailam.
The Bailam, yeah. So if I have a piece of wood which belongs to me,
and someone steals it,
someone
else,
off
the Goslin,
is doing your bit.
That's interesting. Okay, all right. It's interesting, but it's not. Okay, you're saying maybe a Goslin shouldn't have the power to make a kli. Okay, you know there's a sugya about. Okay. There's a sugi about the das of a Goslin, if it has kinyanim to make a kli. Okay, fine, interesting. Okay, so let's just take that. Okay, there's something called mochen, objectively mochen. So what is muksa? L'firav Yishemin. L'firav Yishemin's muksa is something that the etzim is an ochel coming into Shabbos. A bachar is not ochel coming into Shabbos because it's kachim. Right, what else is mochen? What else is muksa, Rav Yishemin? Right, a sukkah that you don't expect to fall. Right, the Gemara says, right in Beit Salamet, the Gemara says you have a sukkah and you don't expect it to fall, and then it falls on Yom Tov. Rav Shimon says you can't use that he agrees that you can't use that wood for firewood. Why? Why? Because coming into Shabbos, that wood was not firewood. It was a hut. It was part of a building. It didn't have a shame of a fuel. It has to get that shame, that shame of fuel, right? The same thing would be true by the ashashis, right? The ashashis, right? The candle that's not expected to go out. What's the pshat? The pshat is that coming in a chinami might be oil in that nair, but that oil, at coming into Shabbos, it's fuel for a fire. Fuel for a fire is not considered ochel. It's not considered muchen as ochel. And the meila, I mean, besides the iser being mechabet, it's be'etzem was put to something that's not ochel. You made it not ochel, and the meila is going to be muksa. So just finish up one more point here, and this is a pelvic point. Tremendous kasha here. So there's another muksa to Rav Shimon that we have to work out. That seems to be a kasha with what we're saying. It's muksa of mechubar. Right? You see in Beis HaChavdalet, there's a din that anything that was mechubar lekarka, if you have cucumbers growing and a guy comes along and harvests them on Shabbos, those cucumbers are muksa. The Gemara says it like a davar pashut, we accept the halacha, even to Rav Shimon. Right? So Rashi says, So the fact that you didn't pick it before Shabbos, so it shows you Masiach Das Rimin, and therefore it's Muksa even to Rabbi Shimon. Right? An apple falls off a tree on Shabbos, it's Muksa even to Rabbi Shimon. So this is a Pella. This is a Pella. Beis Yosef talks about this in the beginning of Shini Reches. Kash is, everyone wants to know, why is this different than a Behema? A behema, we say a behema dies on Shabbos, the meat's not muksa. But the apple falls off the tree, it is muksa. So what on earth is the difference between the apple and the behema, the meat? What's the difference? Well, why is one muksa and one not muksa? Okay, you can look at the Beis Yosef, you can look around. I'll tell you, there are some teretzim given. I don't feel there's any teretz that's really crisp and clear that you're going to find. I'll tell you a teretz, you know, you could work it back perhaps into some of that which is said, but I don't know if it's spelled out. But the teretz, L'chor is a teretz that's pasha, but not in Lomdus, but in Metzias. Right? And you have to be a farmer to understand this teretz. So you have to have raised, you know, had a garden, raised animals a little bit to have this teretz. Okay? So if you didn't,
what's the case
I'll tell
of the apple?
What?
What's the case of the apple?
Apple falls off a tree on Shabbos. Can't eat the apple.
Peres hanoshim?
Oh, so could be Gzeirah a peres hanoshim. You're right. That could be. Except that. That you'll accept that the Rishonim don't say that. Absolutely, the other Rishonim will say that. Rashi doesn't say that. Okay, let's put. Rashi says you're Masiach Das from it. So what's Pshat? So it says like this. So it could be like this. Pshat's like this. The Pshat is. Let's start. Pshat's like this. This Gemara Chulin, it tells us another extra point here. Little point. It says that the Gemara is talking about why a behema that dies on Shabbos is not muksa. So the Gemara says it depends. The Gemara says the reason for a behema not to be muksa on Shabbos when it dies is dafka a behema that's omeid lachila. And the Gemara says the reason it's not muksa is because behema b'chayeha. Lachila omedes. It says, but if this behemoth was omedes l'gadol, it was the farmer says he's not using this is not his food, it's not part of his food supply here. This is an animal that he's keeping to grow, or he's keeping it to have lados. It should give birth to more more cows, right? Or whatever it is, a tarnagolus is omedes l'beitzim, or a cow that you're keeping for milk. So ein achinami. If it was omedes legadol, the Gemara says it should be muksa. It says omedes lachil is not muksa because the meila it's considered ochel before Shabbos. So the metzias is that by animals, stam animals, person, you know, in the olden days they couldn't keep meat fresh. An animal, you want it. You have a sheep, and this sheep is meant for it to be eaten by you. You keep it alive, because if you were to shecht it, you'd have nothing to do with it. You have enough meat right now, and you want to keep this alive so it stays fresh. And whenever you shecht it, then you'll have your fresh meat. But I didn't shecht before Shabbos, yeah, because you have nothing to eat it before Shabbos. But is it food? Yeah, it's food. That's what it's here for. If you would want to eat it, you'd eat it. By harvesting, by a field, so it's not like that, right? If you're a farmer, you know that all fruits, you have to harvest them at the right time, right? You want to keep them on while they're growing, until they get ripe. The second they're ripe, you want to take them off. Why? So, if you keep them on, you'll likely lose them, right? First of all, you want to get it at the right time when it's perfectly ripe. It's not ripe. It's not overripe. When it's just the way it's supposed to be picked. There's a set time you're supposed to pick things. Not only that, if you stand and leave things on the fields, at least I can tell you from my gardening experiences, it's likely to get eaten. Right? Everything you're competing with all the wild animals, the birds, the insects. Right? You're always in competition. So if it's ready, you pick it. Oh. So that l'chayr is what Rashi means to say. Rashi says that anything that's mechubur coming into Shabbos is muksa, because your mesiach das, because you didn't pick it. If it wasn't the time to pick it, you didn't pick it, and therefore memela it's muksa. It's not supposed to be picked. If it was supposed to be picked, it would have been picked. And animals like not like that. The animal that's your meat in the refrigerator. The food is ready. The food is ready to go. So Mela, that could be the pshat. Meaning to be ochel, it has to be that it's defined as food. So animals have that they're defined as food. Tevel is defined as food. Things that are not defined as food, something that's growing that now is not defined as food, it's still part of your crop that you're hoping to harvest at the right time, or the case of the bechar, the case of the ner, those are all things that aren't mochen, they're objectively not mochen. Okay, so that's the shitzur of Shem, that's acceptable halacha. So I just want to say a few words, a few words about the next sugya on end of Mem Vav and Mem Zayin. I have to finish next week. The Gemara talks about the muksa dinar, the din that a ner is muksa. The Gemara asks the kasha. Kasha comes as a pala. Gemara says, Reb Shimon holds, Davar Shein Miskavin is mutter. You're allowed to do things even if they might cause a malacha to be done because you're not mechavin to it. So the Gemara says, if so, why are you not allowed to carry a candle on Shabbos? The candle might go out, and there'll be a sukibui, but it'll be dovshin and miskavin, it's not a problem. Right? You might cause the candle to burn better, but it might not happen, you're not mechavin for that. So mamela, it's not a problem. According to Rav Shimon, what is wrong with carrying a candle, lighting up your bedroom, taking the candle from the Shabbos table into your bedroom on Shabbos? What's wrong with that? So the Gemara answers, what's wrong with that? It says, Hanach l'ner shem l'upsila hol shanaseh basis l'davar ha'aser. It says, the pshat is because the ner and the shemen and the wick, they're all basis to the flame, and the flame's muksa. Oh, so before we explain what the Gemara says, I think the whole kasha of the Gemara comes to the pella, because we thought, of course the ner is muksa. Of course the shemen is muksa, right? We spoke all about the fact that shemen is muksel mitzvasa. Right, we know that shemen, shemen is muksa. The whole ner is muksa l'mitzvaso. We know you certainly can't take shemen out of the ner. That would be an iser of kibui. You know, that would be a malacha on Shabbos. So it's pashut you can't use this. So what's it even talking about? What was the Gemara's kasha? Why on earth is the Gemara having a trouble explaining why a ner is muksa? So the pashut teretz is because you're right. It's muksa l'mitzvaso. Right, the oil that falls out of the candle, you can't use. You can't put it in your salad because it's muksa l'mitzvaso. But what's its mitzvah? Its mitzvah is to give light for your hana on Shabbos. So the mela, this candle, is a light. It's giving light. The mela, a light is no different than any other kli in your house. And it's a kli shem lachto l'heter. Right? Seeing is mutter on Shabbos. And therefore, you can't make a fire on Shabbos, but you can't make a sweater on Shabbos. You're not allowed to wear a sweater on Shabbos. You're not allowed to light a candle on Shabbos, but you're allowed to use a candle on Shabbos. It's a klisha m'lachta l'heter, so the male should be allowed to carry it. So if the Gemara asks, why can't you carry a candle? So, now, you could have said no, right? If the Gemara didn't say that, you could have said no. You say, no, a candle, that's not a kli. That's not a kli that you use on Shabbos. It gives out light, but you don't do anything with it, right? A hammer is a kli, because I hammer nails with it. But a light, maybe I could say it's not a kli. Okay, but see, for the Gemara, it is a kli. So the fact that it does its job perfectly well sitting on your table without touching it is still a kli. Right? Same thing, a picture frame, a picture on the wall. If it's very expensive and you're miyachid lo makum, then it's going to be muksa machmas chisaron kiss. But stam, a picture, a photograph in a frame is not muksa on Shabbos. It's not muksa because it's a kli. What do you do with it? You look at it. And it's a kli. That's enough to make it a kli. It's not going to be muksa. So Mela, it's not Muksa. So great. So it's not Muksa. So what's the Gemara's answer? Why is it Muksa? It's really not Muksa. The problem is the flame. The flame is Muksa. So the Gemara doesn't explain. Why is the flame Muksa? L'chayru, we just explained that the candle itself is not Muksa. So why is the flame, yes, Muksa? Right? If the candle is a Kli, Shem Lachta L'Hetzer, why is the Shalheves, why is the flame Muksa? So that's a kasha. It's not entirely pashit. Mincha Shlomo, Simon Yudalit, or Shlomo Zalman has a longer richas on this. Talks about a lot of different stadim. He brings up one side that sounded so good when I started reading it. He said it's nolad. Right? Sounds very right? I thought that sounded very nice to me when I saw it superficially. Right? It's nolad. Yeah, because why? It's being recreated every second. The fire, it's not like an object. It's constantly being recreated. It's new air. It's coming in and combusting. And therefore, it's recreating itself every second. And therefore, you can't talk about a fire as being mukhin from before Shabbos. It sounded nice. Yeah, but it's a problem. It's like a very obvious problem. Anyone has an obvious problem? I don't know. What?
Not classically nolad, or?
Okay, this is chiddush. We say chiddushim. So, no, the big question is, what about yomtiv? Yomtiv, right? Yomtiv, you know, right? Some of you know candles are not muksa on yomtiv. And right? Yomtiv, it's perfectly right to carry your candle from room to room. Right? You take your candle, you light your fireplace. Right? It's completely not muksa on yomtiv. If it's nolad, it should be asur on yomtiv. So that basically knocks that out. Now, why is it not Nola, this stam is interesting. The Gemara Brachos and Gimel says that a fire is not considered to be recreated every second. The Gemara has a clear. What's the din if you're motzi fire on Shabbos? You're motzi from Rishas Hayachid to Rishas Harabim. Are you chayim for taking the fire outside? Right, so fire always has to be held by something, but if it's held by something that's so minute that you're not chayiv on it, to be chayiv on Shabbos, you have to be motzi a certain shear. There's a certain shear of chashivas. So the shail is if you take out the fire, a little bit of oil on a little broken piece of pottery, so you're not chayiv out the pottery, but are you chayiv out the fire? So the Gemara says it depends. If we view fire as being recreated every second anew, so it says then you'll be pater. Because the object that you picked up from the Shusha Yachid is not the same object as you put down on the Shusha Rabim. Fire in Shusha Yachid is not the same fire in the Shusha Rabim. It's a different fire. It's different molecules that are combusting. But it says not that way. Halachically, the Gemara comes out, lahalacha, that is considered one fire. And therefore, you're chayef for being motzi and eish. So therefore, it's clear that we consider a fire as being one chayfetz. But if you made a fire, this is an interesting thing. You know, the Gemara says in Beit Salam and Gimel, you're not allowed to make a new fire, you're not allowed to strike a match on Yom Tov. You're not allowed to create a fire. Rashi says because it's an issur being molded. So I thought it's interesting. L'chayr d'pshat is because you are creating a new fire. That's asur on Yom Tov, because Yom Tov we know everything's mutter, things are mutter l'tzorach ochel nefesh. But nolad is not mutter. Using muksa, something that's not mukhan, you're not allowed to use wood, even the tzorach ochel nefesh, to make a fire on Yom Tov. So in Mele, if you strike a match on Yom Tov, you're being over an isser. Why? Because you're creating, you're being molded, you're creating something new. So that's new. But the fire that's there from before Yom Tov, so that's not considered something new. And in Mele, it's not that would not be considered null. So the bottom line is, what we have a kasha. Why is it? Maybe we'll talk afterwards. We have a kasha. Bottom line, why on earth is a flame as a flame muksa? So Rav Moshe says, and Rav Shlomo Zalman say, unfortunately they don't explain so much. Maybe fortunately they don't explain so much. So then I could explain it. but they say it's not a kli. A fire just is not a kli. Yes, it needs a hesper. Why is the fire not a kli? We just said the ner, the shemen, and the wick is a kli. So why is the fire not a kli? And the other shayla we'll have to answer is, if it's muksan Shabbos, why is it not muksan Yom Tov? That also needs to be explained. Oh. So l'chayra, This is it's a hard kasha, but it's really it could be very sodistic. What is it that's considered mochen? Right? So there's really two things that are mochen on Shabbos Yom Tov. One is a kli. Things you have to have a shame kli. Right? Mochen isn't just things that are usable. Even if you have racks, right? The Gemara says racks in your chatzar. Even though they're usable, even if you're thinking to use them, they're still muksa. The Gemara says because they don't have a Torah's kli. There's something called a Torah's kli, and it's lacking Torah's kli, right? We saw you put the rack on top of the chavis. You used it on Shabbos. You put it there before Shabbos to use it. It's not a kli, it's muksa. There's something called a Torah's kli. To be mukhan means that it has to get this thin Torah's kli. Now there's something else. Now having Torah's kli is something, it has to be that's man-made. It's a utensil, man-made, that you use. Right? Some things don't have a Torah's kli. Let's say wood. Wood, right, we saw the Gemara said that wood does not have a Torah's kli. By using the bakas as a doorstop. Wood does not have a Torah's kli. It's not a kli shem lach l'isri even. It's a straight muksan shops. Even though it's wood that was cut to be fuel, because it's not a kli. That's not called a kli. You can bust it. That's what you do. You can bust it and burn it and it burns up. Right? It's not something that's man-made with tachlis to be used. Right? For something to be a kli, it has to be that you did a maisa to it, or at least you did a yichud, that I'm going to use this for olam. Right? The charyos, if you're miyachid, and this is a chiyar, it becomes a chiyar. But it has to be something that makes it into a kli. Eitzim stav is not a kli. Now, afal pikin on Yom Tov, you're allowed to use eitzim. You're allowed to use eitzim as fuel. Enechinam is not a kli. The Gemara says, "Fair is not a kli, and therefore on Shabbos it's not called a kli shem lach dol iser. It's called muktzah because it doesn't have shem kli. It's still mutter on Yom Tov because it's used on Yom Tov. You can bust it. You use it to heat up your house, just like food is used. Food is not a kli, but you eat it. You eat it, and therefore it's considered machan. Fine. So Mela you can say a pashat mahalach like this." The actual nair is no different than your picture frame. It's a kli. It's man-made. It lasts. You use it. This is a kli for making fire. It's fine. So that's going to be considered a kli, and it's going to be okay. That's going to be mutter. But a shalheves, it doesn't actually become a kli. It's not man-made, right? It's not man-made in that way. It started, but it's not like it's mutukin alite adam. You can't call this a utensil. You can't call it a kli. You can't put it into your drawer and take it out when you want a fire. The fire, it combusts, and it does it. It's a chain reaction that starts from man. It's not considered a kli. On Yom Tov, you're allowed to use it. You actively use it. You could light a fire with it. You could cook with it. You could actually use it. If you could use the fire. So then it becomes something that's usable. Right? Meaning a kli, if you have the same kli, even if it's completely passive. It's a passive use, it's a picture frame. It's a kli, it's good. But by things that aren't kelim, they're only considered mukhan if you actively use them. You use the guf hadavar. Right? If not so, right? Let's say, we could have tied it, everything in the world is usable. Right? The sun, I use the sun. I use the earth. Right? So why is it all muksa? Let's say there's a rack, and that's my favorite place to sit. It's still muksa. Why? Because I might use it, but it's a completely passive use. So therefore it's muksa. It has to be an active use. So on Yom Tov, you can actively use fire. Oh, you can actively use fire, light your furnace with it, light your oven with it. Then it's not muksa. But if it's just passive, so Mela we say the Shalheves is not a kli, and the Mela the Shalheves is muksa, and the Mela the candles are buses for the muksa. Fine. Now what about a flashlight? So Rav Moshe and Rav Shlomo Zalman, who I think they both seem to really, they just say it's Pasha the Shalheves isn't a kli, just based on what a Shalheves is. So they both say assume a flashlight. The etzim is a klishim lachdul heter. Whoa. Right? That's a little surprising, no? If you have a flashlight on before Shabbos, so completely mutter min adin, completely mutter to carry that flashlight around. You could use, you have an Erev, you want to go to shul, you want to sleep in, take a flashlight. Right? Okay. All right. So why don't you see this more? So Rav Moshe and Rav Shlomo Zalman both wrote the same thing. Okay, if I don't time say all the Marmakomos, they're either in the Marmakomos or you could ask me afterwards. But they both say that you shouldn't do it because Atu Anar. Meaning to say that they're Ikers and Smutzer, but they're, I don't know if you call it, they're Gozer. They said, they pronounced, whatever it is, that this should not be done because it's going to be Machlish people's understanding that a candle is Muksa. Oh, very nice. Rav Moshe writes, that Afal Pikain, if something just has a light on it, but it's not used as light, you don't have to worry about this. Let's say your alarm clock. Your alarm clock, you don't have to worry about it, or something else. Some things have like a little light on it, but it's not coming to make a light, so then Rav Moshe was okay with it. Also, anything uses electricity, Rav Moshe was okay with, like a fan. A fan is Klisha Malachdo Leheter. Klisha Malachdo Leheter, right? It's Zalidei. So that would all be mutter. I saw a sefer, so I'll just tell you. I just quoted in Dersha, I wasn't able to look it up, but Rav Nissim Kareltz and Chutz Shani. So he writes, he's afraid that everything electrical maybe is muksa. He says, because we just like the ner is muksa, so too the ner, the shalheves makes the ner muksa, so too the electricity is also not maybe the electricity is like a fire, and electricity should make the object using electricity into a bus. So he said that it does not seem to be accepted, and I can tell you a Pashut reason it's not true. So I thought it was a Gemara that it's not true, right? Because the Gemara says, we'll end with this, but the Gemara says, Legabi Nitzotzos, the Nitzotzos, the Gemara says if Nitzotzos sparks fall into a Kli, they don't make the Kli into a Basis. It says because Nitzotzos ain't behemamish. Nitzotzos ain't behemamish, and therefore they don't make a Basis. And to be a Basis, you can only be a Basis if a thing, there's something really that's there. Right? A fire is a real thing. You could be chai for outside of a fire. And therefore, the candles are Basis for the fire. The electrons, there's nothing there, there's no chashivas there, and you wouldn't be chayv, there's no chutzah on electrons, right? Yeah? If I rub really hard and knock off some sparks, there's no chutzah there, right? There's no, it's because it ain't no mamash, it's sotos, has no mamash. So I would say that the electricity has no mamash. If there's no mamash, it's not going to make a basis. Yeah, okay, see?